Welcome to Through the Bible with Les Feldman, a 30-minute walk through the Scriptures, teaching in-depth Bible truths that change people's lives. Now, here's your host, Les Feldman.
Okay, it's good to see everybody on program number 4 for this afternoon. And for those of you joining us on television, again, we just always like to remind you how much we appreciate your letters and your phone calls and your gifts, your prayers, everything that makes this ministry possible, and how we thrill at how many are coming to a real knowledge of salvation, letter after letter, where they'll say, I've been in church all my life, but for the first time, I'm not afraid to die. I'm ready for the Lord to come. Well, you know, nothing could thrill us more. And so you just keep praying that the Lord will continue to use us and that the Holy Spirit can work through us. Okay, we're going to jump right in where we left off in Isaiah chapter 60. And as I was not able to announce in the coming into chapter 60, that now all of a sudden, instead of all the horrors of Israel's iniquity and unbelief, now we're looking at the glorious prospect of when their Messiah will come and Israel enjoy the blessings of the kingdom. And so it's a whole different scenario, entirely different language. All right, let's just jump in now at verse 4. Oh, I'd like to read verse 3 where we left off. The Gentiles, the non-Jewish world, shall come to thy light. Whose light? Israel's. Now, too much of Christendom does not understand that Isaiah is not writing to the Gentile world. He's only writing to Israel. And Christ was Israel's light up front. Now, he will be the light of the world. He is today, but in Israel's antiquity, it was to that nation that the prophets are addressing. And so, the Gentiles shall come to Israel's light, their Messiah, their Redeemer, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Now, verse 4, here is the instruction for the nation of Israel. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to thee, thy sons shall come from far, thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side, then thou shalt see and flow together, thy heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, the forces of the Gentiles shall come to thee. All right, now let's go back and pick this up in Deuteronomy. And I think we may have looked at this several programs back. But here in Deuteronomy 28, here come the promises of these glorious blessings that are still awaiting the nation of Israel. And they're going to come. Don't you think for a minute they won't. It'll be in God's own time, but it's going to happen. All right, Deuteronomy 28, we'll just take a look at verse 1 and 2, just to open the chapter. And then we'll just look at a couple verses that are the fulfillment of all this. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2. And this is Moses writing, 3,500 B.C. No, I'm sorry, 3,500 from now, 1,500 B.C. All right, and it shall come to pass. If, see, it's all conditional, depending on Israel's ability to be obedient and believe. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee, Israel, the nation, on high above all nations. See that? That's God's promise, even through the prophet Moses. And all these blessings, verse 2, shall come on thee and overtake thee if you hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. All right, now all the various blessings are listed. But now just for sake of time, let us come down to verse 12. Deuteronomy 28, on down to verse 12. And this will never happen until they have the king and his kingdom. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, to bless all the work of thy hand. Thou shalt lend to many nations, thou shalt not borrow. They're never going to be short of operating cash. And the Lord shall make you the head, that is, of all the nations of the world, and not the tail, which they are now, you remember, the smallest nation practically on earth. You will be the head and not the tail. Thou shalt be above only. Thou shalt not be beneath. In other words, they're not going to be at the bottom of the totem pole. They're going to be the head nation once this glorious kingdom comes in, if you hearken to the commands of the Lord thy God, which I command thee. Now, of course, Israel lost the first opportunity at his first advent. But by the time he returns at his second advent, we're going to find that they will recognize him, as we saw in the last half hour, by the wounds in his hands, and they will know that he is that promised Messiah, Redeemer, and King. All right, back to Isaiah chapter 60 then. And I want you to keep this uppermost in your thinking, that the day is coming when Israel will be a blessing to the Gentile nations, and they will be the greatest nation on the earth. And it goes back to common sense numbers. You see, by the end of the tribulation, when the whole planet will be totally destroyed as we understand it, and the vast majority of the population is going to be destroyed, yet there is that one-third of Israel that's going to be kept safe out in the desert. Now, Israel's population is about 15 million today. A third of that is 5 million. So there's going to be 5 million Israelites that are going to come through the tribulation. But all the other nations are only going to just have a small percentage of survivors, like we'll even find in a humongous earthquake today. That 4 or 5 days after the earthquake, they'll find a few survivors in the rubble. Well, that's an indication of the surviving Gentiles. So what does that tell you? There will only be a few in every Gentile nation compared to 5 million Jews. So if you start with 5 million over maybe a few hundred thousand or a million, it follows, who's going to be the greatest nation on earth? Israel. And they will be. Israel will be the greatest nation on earth. Now remember when we started the book of Isaiah, come all the way back to Isaiah chapter 2. And in light of this, then this all makes sense. But you have to put the big picture together. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. This is where we really started in our whole study in Isaiah several months ago. And it shall come to pass in the last days. Now, in other words, in that last 1,000 years of this old planet's history, when the king will return and set up his glorious kingdom there with a capital in Jerusalem. Now look at the language. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain or the kingdom of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. Now mountains and hills in Old Testament symbolism are kingdoms and nations or empires, however you want to put it. All right, this kingdom will be in the top of the mountains. It will be exalted above all the other nations. But now here's the key. All nations will what? Flow into it. What does that mean? It's going to be the headquarters, the capital of the world. Because it'll be the crowning nation to which all the other Gentile nations will subscribe. All right, now then back to Isaiah chapter 60 again. Here is the fulfillment of all these things when the Redeemer will come to Zion and he will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All right, now verse 6. This is just simply Old Testament language of tremendous activity of commerce and what have you. The multitudes of camels, which of course were the primary source of transportation in biblical times, the multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come, They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. See what that's doing? The nations of the world are going to bring praise to the King of Kings, holding forth there in Jerusalem. Verse 7, all the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. See what a difference that is from the previous chapters when we had the deal with Israel's sin? Verse 8, who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? Surely the isles shall wait for me in the ships of Tarshish. Now, most Englishmen will think that Tarshish is a reference to England, but whatever. The ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them. Now, what does all this amount to? Well, whenever a conquering emperor would come in and take over a nation and the population, what would they do with their wealth? Well, they would take it back to their own capital. When the Babylonians invaded and destroyed Jerusalem, they took all the wealth of Jerusalem back to Babylon. Well, now this is going to be on a benevolent scale. Instead of robbing and pillaging, this is going to be a voluntary offering of all these things because of their adherence to the King of Glory. All right, verse 9, reading on. They will bring their silver and their gold with them unto the name of the Lord thy God and to the Holy One of Israel. Why? Because he, God, has glorified thee, the nation of Israel. Now verse 10, the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. See all the obeyance of all of the nations of the world to Israel's king? For in my wrath I smote thee back in their time of unbelief, but in my favor I have had mercy on thee. Remember how I opened the first program today? That we've got two sides of the question. Israel's unbelief and God's chastisement, Israel's obedience and the blessings of God upon them. That's just common sense. That's all it really amounts to. All right, reading on. Verse 10, the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister to thee, for in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor I have had mercy on thee. Now, verse 11, therefore thy gates shall be open continually. Now, remember, this is probably spoken in symbolic language, but if a city is sitting there ruling the world with open gates, what does that indicate? That no one is being withheld. It's full access for everyone in that kingdom world to have access to the city of Jerusalem. All right, verse 11, reading on. They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles. See how the Gentiles are now being brought into the picture? And that their kings may be brought, for the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Well, what did I tell you? They're either going to be part and parcel of it, or they won't even last. Then verse 13, the glory of Lebanon, which was always a picture of the cedars of Lebanon. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, the box together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. See how plain all this is? This is Israel's future. Now, even though that today, for the most part, they're a nation of iniquity and unbelief, their government is just as corrupt as anybody else's government. But the day will come when these believing Jews will have the King of Glory, and they're going to just revel in all the blessings that they have missed for these last 3,000 years. All right, I'm going to bring you all the way down to, well, verse 16, thou shalt nurse the milk of the Gentiles. and instead of having to loan it or borrow it, rather, it will just naturally flow into this kingdom. Thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer. See, we don't lose the spiritual aspect. Now let's come back with me. We did this several weeks ago. Let's look at it again. It never hurts to repeat. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Because this just complements what Isaiah is talking about. Luke chapter 1, and we're going to jump in at verse 64, honey. Luke 1, verse 64. Now here's the backdrop. I think we rehearsed it one of our previous tapings. When the Lord announced the coming birth of John the Baptist to his parents, Zacharias and Elizabeth, the father, Zacharias, was stricken dumb, unable to speak. And he was one of the priests operating in the temple. And until John the Baptist was born, he was never able to speak a single word. But as soon as the baby was born, his mouth was opened, verse 64, and immediately his tongue was loosed. He spoke and praised God. Now here is one of those little remnants of Israel again, a true believing priest of God operating in the temple. Now verse 65. Fear came on all that dwelt around about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. All that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? Now remember, we're not talking about Jesus, we're talking about John the Baptist. And the hand of the Lord is with him. And his father, John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, remember, the Holy Spirit was operating long before Pentecost. All right, and so the Holy Spirit came upon Zacharias, and he spoke forth, saying, now watch this very carefully, because this is telling us what Israel was legitimately expecting. Legitimately, because this is the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking through Zacharias. And he says, blessed be the Lord God of the world, Israel. This is all Jewish. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, Israel. He hath raised up a horn of salvation. See, there's the spiritual connotation. He's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets. And we're reading one in our study, Isaiah. Who have been since the ages began, that we, the nation of Israel, that we should be saved from our sins? No. Enemies. We're not dealing in the spiritual here, we're dealing in the physical. That Israel will be spared from all their enemies, and I've pointed this out many, many times. Who were their enemies at the time of Christ's first advent? The same ones that you got tonight. The Arab world, the Gentile world, they all hated the Jew then as they hate him today. All right? And so this will turn the tables. And all of a sudden, instead of being the hated little nation of no consequence, they're going to be the greatest nation on earth, and all the world will respect them. See? All right? So, that you would save us from our enemies, and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, see, all the way back to Abraham, that all this has been promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant. What covenant? The one that he sware to our father, Abraham. Now, you want to remember, what did the Abrahamic covenant contain? That the nation of Israel would be blessed supremely by the Creator God, but that also out of that nation would come the Redeemer for the whole human race. That was all promised to Abraham. All right? Now verse 74. That he, God, would grant unto us, Israel, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him, God, without fear, in hope, holiness and righteousness. See? Not in idolatry and covetousness and wickedness and immorality, but they would now be a nation of holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. That's what Israel was looking for. And yet, the mainstream of Israel rejected it, and consequently, they were scattered into the nations of the world, and now they are back in the land and waiting for the second coming of Christ, at which time they will certainly recognize Him and believe who He is. All right, back to Isaiah chapter 60. We're in verse 15. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many nations. Well, I've always gone over that. And thou shalt drink of the milk of the Gentiles and the breast of kings and all these things. All right, now then, verse 17, we'll reread it. For brass I will bring gold, for iron I will bring silver, wood brass, for stones iron, I will also make thy officers peace and thy exactors righteousness. Now here comes another promise. Verse 18, violence shall no more be heard in thy land. Quite an opposite from what we had earlier, isn't it? Because what did they have before? Violence and murder and dishonesty, see? And it's going to be a total opposite. Wasting nor destruction within thy borders, none of that. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Now that brings up a question. Are we going to have the sun, moon, and stars during the kingdom? Yes, because this planet is not going to change its position in the solar system. It's going to be renovated. It's going to be made like in the Garden of Eden, but it's not going to lose the sun and the moon and the stars. But now here's the glorious part. When Christ is ruling from Jerusalem, His eminence will be so bright that it will cause the sun to disappear like stars do in the daylight. Now think about that for a minute. They're still going to be out there. But His brightness will be so beyond the sun and the moon and the star that they won't even be visible. Now let me give you a good illustration. I think I got time. Come back with me to Matthew. Back to Matthew. Chapter 17. Maybe this will help us understand. The glory that's yet coming to this old planet. Matthew 17. And remember, this is the same person that's coming back. Here, of course, He's in His earthly ministry. He's in His body of humiliation. But when He returns, He's going to be in His glorified, resurrected body. And this is just a little glimpse of it, remember. Just a little window. All right, Matthew 17, verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, His brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, verse 2, and He was transfigured. He was suddenly changed. And His face did shine as the what? The sun. And His raiment was white as the light. Now, do you get a little picture of that? I think those three men must have almost fallen down as dead men when they experienced that glorious light of the transfigured Jesus of Nazareth. And this is just a little preview, see? And so when He returns and sets up His kingdom in Jerusalem, His brightness will be so exceeding the sun and the stars and the moon that they won't even be discernible. All right, back to Isaiah chapter 60, and then it's almost time to wind it up. Verse 20. Thy son, not the son out there in solar space, but Israel's son, the son of righteousness, the God of glory, who is now ruling in Jerusalem, thy son shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord, Jesus the Christ, shall be thy everlasting light. Have you ever seen this before? I'll bet most people haven't. But this is going to be the glory of his presence as he rules and reigns from Jerusalem. That he will be so bright that Israel won't even need the light from the solar system. All right? For the Lord shall be thy everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Now listen, you all know, for the most part, what has been the existence of the nation of Israel down through history? Misery, unbelief. My, they have been tortured and tormented. We all are aware of the Holocaust. We're even aware today of the hatred that's extended toward the Jewish people just because they're Jews. The Arabs spew their hate just because they're Jews. They haven't done the Arabs anything. And so that will all end. All right, now then let's read quickly to the end of the chapter, and the hour is going to be gone. Thy people also shall be all righteous. There won't be an unbeliever in their midst. They shall inherit the land forever. No Arab is going to stand in their way. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I, God says, may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. Now, this is all just to indicate how the nation of Israel is going to prosper in everything that they touch. Their population is going to explode. Their wealth is going to explode. They are going to be everything that any nation on earth could ever hope to be. And the Lord says, I will hasten it in His time. And we're getting there fast. And we think we're close.
Thank you for watching Through the Bible with Les Feldick. Through the Bible is a partner-supported ministry. If this program has been a help to your study of the Scriptures and you'd like to see others enjoy the teaching, your support would be greatly appreciated. Write to us at Les Feldick Ministries, 30706 West Lona Valley Road, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or call 1-800-369-7856. Remember, all programs are available in printed form, audio cassette, and videotape. Be sure to tune in next time to Through the Bible with Les Feldick.